Chapter 10. The family were in a little room with a high ceiling and one little window. There was a large iron ring in the wall. There was a skeleton lying on the stone floor. It was chained to the ring. The arm of the skeleton was reaching out, and the hand and fingers tried to reach a plate and mug that were just too far away. The mug was full of water once, but now the inside was covered in green. There was nothing on the plate. Virginia knelt down beside the skeleton and put her hands together. The rest of the family looked down on her golden head, thinking about the terrible secret they had all now discovered.
"Look," said one of the twins suddenly. "Outside the window, the almond tree that we thought was dead has leaves on it, and I can see flowers quite clearly in the moonlight."
"He is forgiven," said Virginia seriously.
She stood up, and her golden hair seemed to light up her whole face. 4 days later, at about 11 o'clock at night, a funeral started from Canterville Chase. There were 8 black horses with feathers on their heads. The coffin was covered with rich purple velvet. The Canterville servants walked beside the horses, carrying lighted torches. Lord Canterville returned to his old home to attend the funeral of his ancient family member, and he sat in the first carriage with little Virginia. In the next carriage were Mr. Otis and his wife, then Washington and the 3 boys, and finally Mrs. Umney. She was extremely relieved to say goodbye to him, after 50 years of being haunted. In the corner of the cemetery there was a deep, open grave. After the funeral, the servants put out their torches, and Virginia laid pink and white almond flowers on the coffin before it was put into the grave. The moon appeared from behind a cloud, and a nightingale began to sing. Virginia remembered the ghost telling her about the Garden of Death, and tears filled her eyes. She was silent on the ride home. The next morning, Mr. Otis and Lord Canterville had a conversation about the box of jewels that the ghost had given to Virginia. They were beautiful and looked expensive, and Mr. Otis felt it was wrong for Virginia to have them.
"My lord," he said to Lord Canterville, "I really feel that the jewels belong in your family, and Virginia has no right to them. Please take them. Virginia is a child and has no interest in jewels. My wife tells me they are very valuable, and she has experience of these things, as she spent many years in New York as a girl. I am sure you could sell these jewels for a high price. You can see that it's impossible for any member of my family to keep them. Virginia would very much like to keep the box as a memory of the ghost. It's an old box and needs a repair, so I hope you will allow her to keep it."
Lord Canterville listened carefully to everything Mr. Otis said, and he pulled his moustache to hide his smile. When Mr. Otis had finished talking, Lord Canterville took his hand. "My dear sir, your little daughter helped my family member in a very important way, and I am grateful for her courage. The jewels are clearly hers. If I took them from her, the old ghost might decide to return from his grave. I don't want them, and I'm sure when Miss Virginia grows up, she will get a lot of pleasure from pretty things. And you forget that when you bought the house, you agreed to take the ghost as well. The jewels were his to give to Virginia." Mr. Otis begged Lord Canterville to change his mind, but he wouldn't. In the spring of 1890, the young Duchess of Cheshire was presented to the Queen just after her marriage, and her jewels were admired by the Queen. The young Duke and Duchess were very much in love, and the only person who was unhappy was old Lady Dumbleton. She had 7 daughters, and had hoped the young Duke of Cheshire would marry one of them. After the honeymoon was over, the Duke and Duchess returned to Canterville Chase, and the next day they walked to the cemetery. There was a stone over the grave now, and the Duchess laid some beautiful roses on it. Then they strolled in the churchyard, and the Duchess sat down to rest. Her husband lay at her feet, looking up at her beautiful eyes. Suddenly he took her hand, and he said, "Virginia, a wife should have no secrets from her husband."
"My darling, I have no secrets from you," she replied.
"Yes, you have," he smiled. "You have never told me what happened when you went with the ghost."
I have never told anyone, darling.
I know, but you should tell me, he said.
Please don't ask me. I cannot tell you. The ghost showed me what life is and what death is, and why love is stronger than both,
said Virginia.
You can keep your secret if you promise to love me forever, he said. You know I do, said his wife.